This is a recording of the open meeting of the Federal Election Commission held on October 9, 2014. Should you have questions after listening to the recording, please call the FEC at 1-800-424-9530 or email us at info@fec.gov.
Okay, the next items on our agenda, items 2, 3, and 4, are final rules on independent expenditures and electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations. Item number 3, the McCutcheon v. FEC interim final rule. And item 4, McCutcheon v. FEC advance notice of proposed rulemaking. And to facilitate discussion of these related items and without objection, we will discuss these three items together. Each commissioner can discuss any aspect of these three items, and when it's time for motions, we will take up each item separately so that each commissioner can vote separately on each unique item. So without objection, we will proceed that way. Mr. Adav Noti, Ms. Esther Jory, and Mr. Theo Lutz from our Office of General Counsel are here. And I would ask Mrs. Jory to begin with a presentation of item 2, the final rules on independent expenditures and electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations, followed then by Mr. Lutz, who will present item 3. The McCutcheon v. Federal Election Commission interim final rule, and item 4, the McCutcheon v. FEC advance notice of proposed rulemaking. But before you begin, I'd like to recognize Mr. Noti and his staff, including Esther, Ms. Jory, Cheryl Hemsley, Bob Knopp, Theo, Amy Rothstein, and Joanna Waldstreicher. Joanna, thank you for your excellent work in drafting these items before us and doing a lot of work to get these before the commission in the shape that they're in. This has been excellent work, and I know all commissioners, regardless of their position on the substance of each matter, appreciates the good work that you've done. So thank you. Ms. Jory, thank you, and the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, commissioners. Agenda document 14-53A is a draft of final rules and an explanation and justification regarding the making of independent expenditures and electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations. The Commission approved a notice of proposed rulemaking that was published in the Federal Register on December 27, 2011. The draft final rules include revisions to the regulations implementing the statutory prohibitions on corporations and labor organizations making independent expenditures and electioneering communications. The draft also revises other regulations in light of the Supreme Court's decision in Citizens United. If the Commission approves the draft final rules and explanation and justification, the Office of General Counsel seeks authority to make technical and conforming changes to that draft and will submit the draft with any technical and conforming changes for publication in the Federal Register. Thank you, and I would be happy to address any questions that you may have.
Let me go to Mr. Lutz for a presentation, and then if there are any questions, we can take them up in together.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also before you are two draft notices that follow from the Supreme Court's decision in McCutcheon versus FEC. Agenda document 1451A is an interim final rule that removes from Commission regulations the aggregate limits on contributions by individuals to federal candidates and political committees in each two-year election cycle. The document provides for a 30-day comment window. Agenda document 1452A is an advance notice of proposed rulemaking that requests comments on whether to begin a rulemaking to revise certain commission regulations in light of the McCutcheon decision. The document provides for a 90-day comment window and for a hearing on February 11, 2015. If the commission approves these drafts, the Office of General Counsel seeks authority to make technical and conforming changes. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Jory. Mr. Lutz, the floor is now open for the Commission to ask questions of Ms. Jory, Mr. Lutz, or more generally consideration and discussion of agenda items 2, 3, and 4. Would any commissioner like to speak on these issues? Vice Chair Ravel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have any questions. I've spent some time reviewing the work done also by OGC, and I'm very impressed by the work you did in a very short, truncated period of time, so I thank you so much for your willingness to stay up late at night and over the weekends and work on this to try to get it in the shape that it's in. I just want to make a comment about this package. Obviously, everybody knows that this is something that I have worked on, and I think it is because, given the changes that we've seen in the legal landscape over the last 5 years, it's important. In fact, it is the obligation of this commission to perform its function and provide as much clarity to the public and the regulated community about what the rules are and how to comply with the law. This agreement, at long last, almost 5 years since Citizens United was decided, provides some of that much-needed clarity. Like any compromise, it doesn't completely address all the issues that I would have wanted to include. The notice of proposed rulemaking on CU that was referred to, which was released in 2011, long before I arrived at the commission, did not address those issues specifically. And so we were constrained by that NPRM, which was voted on by the commission prior to my arrival. In particular, it didn't discuss the disclosure of independent expenditures, which is something that I do care about. But we are precluded from including that issue in these regulations, even though 8 justices of the Supreme Court in Citizens United upheld the Act's disclosure requirements. But I will continue on the commission to work with my fellow commissioners to ensure full disclosure in the political system. But one aspect of this agreement that does make this commission more open, transparent, and responsive is that it includes a mechanism for public comments and a public hearing on core issues related to campaign finance law. That public hearing will be held on February 11th, 2015, on issues that are fundamental to campaign finance. This is a historic departure from how the Commission has engaged in rulemaking, and it's an opportunity for all members of the public and the regulated community to speak to the Commission, either by written comment or in person. We encourage everyone. We want a full range of comments and opinions on the issues that will be presented, and we encourage everyone to comment and to participate in that hearing. I particularly would like to thank and commend Commissioner Hunter, who is my colleague on the Regulations Committee, for her reasonable and helpful approach to trying to reach agreement here. She is a tough but very gracious negotiator, and I look forward to working with her more on many other issues that will come before us and bringing up more regulations for the consideration of the public. I also want to thank Chairman Goodman for his work on helping to facilitate this agreement. He was an indispensable participant in this process. And more importantly, and I know we've spoken about the great work of OGC, high praise also needs to go to our staffs, all of our respective staffs, who all worked very late into the night. I know because I was safely in my little apartment getting emails from them at midnight, deciphering arcane provisions and, most importantly, explaining them to us. But particularly, I would like to give thanks to my amazing EA, Laura Basford, who has not only sacrificed those long nights, but many a weekend, and has become so enmeshed in this rule that she could probably write a book on it if anybody ever wanted to read it. Probably not, is my guess. But anyway, thank you.
Mr. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Today is a good day for the Commission. It sends a positive sign for future cooperation. 4 years and 8 months ago, since Citizens United was decided, as was mentioned, there was much debate over what to put in the NPRM. We went back and forth. There's a lot of ink spilled on that and many, many conversations that we had at public meetings in the past. Eventually, an NPRM was adopted with 5 votes in 2011, which I believe properly focused on the provisions the court declared unconstitutional. As Vice Chair Ravel mentioned, when she came to the commission, she told us that she was willing to work with us after many years of not having a lot of movement on this issue and after a significant number of public comments on the NPRM that, again, was put out in 2011 before she was there. She said, I'm willing to work with you on putting something out, and we welcomed that participation. She's also a tough negotiator, but she's very cooperative and a pleasure to work with. It was important to Vice Chair Ravel that she asked questions about the citizens about the McCutcheon decision, and so today we vote on a package deal, and I will vote for all 3 documents today. We asked some general questions raised by certain language from the McCutcheon decision, but I think we only ask questions that the commission has the authority to change under FECA, which I think makes perfect sense why I asked the public questions that we think is in the purview of Congress to change those laws. So we, too, look forward to your comments and welcome comments from everyone. It's a rare time in Washington for government agencies to remove regulations from the books, so I'm delighted that we're doing that so today here for 2 important Supreme Court opinions and to uphold our commitment to the First Amendment. I'd also like to thank the chairman for shepherding us through and keeping us on a very strict time schedule. You might be wondering, 4 years, 8 months isn't all that strict, but again, once Commissioner Ravel signaled her willingness to work with us, he shepherded us through in a very quick manner, and we appreciate it. And to Vice Chair Ravel for her diligent, cooperative efforts, and Laura Basford, Alex Sasanovich, Lee Evans, all of the OGC staff that we've mentioned earlier here today, thank you to all of you for your very hard work. Cheryl, I think Cheryl Helmsley as well, thank you so much. And a special thank you to Eric Brown, who worked on the Citizens United rulemaking. Eric's back in the audience hiding from everyone. And Rebecca Marino, who's back over here for her hard work on the McCutcheon ANPRM. Thank you very much.
I usually like to go to this side.
Do you want me to speak, Mr. Chairman? You're looking at me.
I think free speech is a good thing. I think more speech we get, the better democracy is served. So, Commissioner Weintraub.
I'm glad to hear it. I'm glad to hear you're in favor of free speech, so am I. I'm sorry. I'm going to ruin the kumbaya moment here. Follow the money. It's become a cliche in Washington and in this country to get to the bottom of what's really going on. If you want to find out who's responsible and who's interested and what people's motivations are and why they're doing what they're doing, you have to follow the money. That's our job. Almost 40 years ago, this agency was created with that express mission of following the money and making that information available to the American public. When it comes to contributions and the money that is raised and spent to fund our elections. But we're falling down on the job because already this year we've seen over $100 million in dark money spent on the 2014 election. And there's our friends over at the Center for Responsive Politics are estimating that could go as high as $700 million. That is a lot of money that is out there that is trying to influence voters and trying to influence the people that will ultimately get elected. And nobody knows where it's coming from. So there's no way to judge, as the Supreme Court said, which members are in the pockets of which special interests, which was a value that the Supreme Court upheld. How did we get here? I'll try and give the short version of the history of all this. And, you know, I think I have the utmost respect for the vice chair, and in some respects I guess it's easier because she came in after all this happened. But in 2002, Congress passed the Bipartisan Campaign Reform Act, and that included provisions that corporations and labor organizations couldn't fund certain communications that were defined as electioneering communications, and that there would be disclosure of who was funding those communications. And that provision, the funding restriction was
struck down in the Wisconsin Right to Life decision. And the commission at that time unanimously thought, well, we should do a rulemaking quickly to try and implement that decision. And within 6 months, we did. And I have to tell you that if there is one thing that I could undo from my years on the commission, it would have been to say, no, let's say no. We don't actually have to do anything to implement that decision. We would have saved a whole lot of grief if we had not gone down that road. As part of that rulemaking, even though the Wisconsin Right to Life decision didn't address disclosure, our Republican colleagues at the time, nobody who's sitting at the table today, thought that disclosure was implicated by that decision, and they wanted to raise that issue in the rulemaking. And consistent with the long-standing practice of the commission, if somebody wanted to raise an issue in a rulemaking document, they got to do that. So we said, okay, you can do that. And at the end of the day, as part of a compromise, we added some language to 104, Section 104 C8 and C9, 104.20 C8 and C9, that addressed disclosure for corporations and labor organizations. And the motivating factor for my colleagues was that they were convinced in the Wisconsin Right to Life, after reading Wisconsin Right to Life, that just as the funding restrictions were struck down, the disclosure restrictions that went along with them were sure to be struck down in the next decision. Well, along comes Citizens United, taking that very case to the Supreme Court. And Citizens United was a dramatic, game-changing decision because the court went so far beyond what the original plaintiffs had brought to the table. But along the way, the court said, disclosure is great. Disclosure does not have the same failings as the funding restrictions. In fact, it's important for us to have an informed electorate, for people to understand who's behind, who is funding all of these ads. They were very enthusiastic. They resoundingly upheld those provisions, which ran directly contrary to the assumptions of the commissioners who had originally been pushing for those restrictions in the Wisconsin Right to Life rulemaking. So now we sit here at the end of a long process because when we went to implement Citizens United, our colleagues told us that we couldn't touch the disclosure provisions, despite the fact that those provisions had been added on a complete misunderstanding of where the court was going. They said, we like that. We like those provisions. They undermine disclosure, and we're okay with that. And we don't want to hear from the American people. We don't want you to put out a proposal that would say, how should we comply with Citizens United? Should we comply with it in a way that locks in the current disclosure regime, or should we comply with it in a way that advances disclosure, which I think would be more faithful to the ruling, which was a pro-disclosure ruling. Whatever else it did, it was a pro-disclosure ruling. And they said, no, you can't put your proposal out there for comment. We do not want to hear those comments. It was not a very pro-First Amendment decision, actually, by my colleagues, because they weren't interested in having that wide open, robust debate that the First Amendment is supposed to protect. They wanted to rig the game so that at the end of this process, the only alternative would be the one that is adopted today that keeps in place these disclosure restrictions that are part of the problem that is leading to this explosion in dark money. And this has been dramatically exacerbated since Citizens United. The situation that was in front of the court is not the situation that exists today. They are not getting what they envisioned, a system where there would be a lot of freedom for people to buy as many ads as they want to, but everybody would know who was behind those ads. And that is not, unfortunately, the system that we have here today. And I know that some people are hungry for this commission to be more functional than it has been. And Lord knows I am hungry for this commission to be more functional than it has been. And it's been suggested, can't you just find the stuff that you can all agree on? I mean, certainly there are parts of Citizens United that are incontrovertible. They say what they say. Can't you just agree on that? And the problem with that is that in this rulemaking, there is no way to segregate out the disclosure provisions, because there was an attempt to try, and then my colleagues realized that, no, actually, because of the cross-references, we have to deal with 104.20(c)(8) and (9). There's no way to avoid it because the rules won't make sense unless we clean them up. But they said, well, we're only going to look at three words. You can't look at the rest of the sentence. You can't ask the American public what they think of the rest of the sentence because we don't want to hear those comments. If we put that out for comment, people might like the idea of having more disclosure. Certainly all the polls that I've seen indicate that people really want to have more disclosure. But those views were not welcome here at the FEC. And I think that's very unfortunate. So it's impossible for me to vote for the Citizens United rule because it leaves in place this disclosure regime that I think really undermines what Congress was trying to achieve and what the Supreme Court has endorsed in terms of disclosure. I got a letter recently from Patricia Ellis of Greenwood, Mississippi. I didn't put anything out for comment. She just wrote to me. Dear Commissioner Weintraub, it is my hope that you and your commission will change the American people's loss of power over their government. When American citizens vote into office their congressman, they expect the congressman to represent the wishes of their constituents. However, this no longer happens. Congressmen have been bought by lobbyists, special interest groups, and PACs. This has corrupted our government so badly that Congress represents only these groups. While congressmen get richer by the flow of money and gifts from these groups, their constituents grow poorer. Common sense legislation for the people is forgotten. Bills laden with pork regulations and special interests for lobbyists that hurt common Americans are business as usual. This corruption also exists in elections, with lobbyists, special interest groups, and PACs pouring support into the campaigns of candidates that support them. The Supreme Court ruling that paved the way for super PACs with its Citizens United decision has further undermined the influence of the everyday American on the nation's politics. This is fraud on the American citizen. Something must be done to stop this deception against the American citizen. Can you or your commission do something to restore the power of the United States government back into the hands of the American citizen? What can the average American citizen do to be heard and represented well? I think we could do a lot more than we are doing. I appreciate that we're going to have a hearing on an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, and I hope that we get a lot of comments. I encourage Ms. Ellis to comment and anybody else out there to comment on the issues that are of concern to them that they want the commission to be paying attention to. It's an advance notice, which means the commission's not committing itself to actually doing a rulemaking. So we really, really need to hear from people. If you want us to act, you're going to have to persuade everybody at this table, or at least four people at this table, that there's a need to act. So I really hope that we will get robust comments on this. I should also say that in addition to the disclosure issues, which are so important, there are other issues that the commission is not dealing with here today and we were not allowed to deal with here today that I think are important to the American people. When corporations are given a lot more freedom to speak, that raises questions because corporations may be legal persons, according to the Supreme Court, but they're not really people. We know that. There are differences, and it raises issues that we really need to consider. Corporations, for example, unlike people, real people, thank God and Abraham Lincoln, corporations can be owned, and people can't. So when you have corporations, in fact, all corporations are owned. They're owned and controlled by others. Some of them are owned and controlled by people in other countries, by individuals, by corporations, by foreign governments. And the foreign national ban still stands. So I think we really need to take a look at how the corporate structure, with its inherent ownership principles, how to interpret that in light of those freedoms, in light of the foreign national ban. Because, and I don't know why this should be a partisan issue. I would think everybody would be interested in protecting our politics from foreign interventions. So I don't know why we can't get that issue off the ground. I'm also very concerned about potential coercion of employees and union members when the corporation is overtly involved in politics. What does that mean for employees who may not share the views of their employers or of their union leaders? How does this affect them? How do we protect them from being coerced into political activities that do not reflect their own views, which they have a right to express or not express? I think there's, and then there are other issues that we could have considered. I think the corporate facilitation rules really need another relook. And I think that was an issue that there was some interest in addressing, except that when the position was adopted, that we were just going to do a stripped down rulemaking. That also got left on the cutting room floor, and that's unfortunate. So I wish that we could do more. I hope that we will do more to address Ms. Ellis's concerns and the concerns that I think are shared by many, many Americans. My colleagues should not be afraid to hear from the American people. I think we all might learn something. So I will not be able to support the Citizens United rule. We'll have a counter motion on that. I will support the McCutcheon, both the interim final rule and the advance notice of proposed rulemaking. I will note that even the process on that is not my my preferred way of going forward. We're issuing an interim final rule, which means we're issuing the rule and then we're asking for comments later. And while I'm going to vote for it because I can't think of any controversial aspects of the implementation of that narrower decision, somebody else might think of them out there. And it's my experience that it's a lot easier to get something right the first time than to try and correct mistakes after the fact. So I'm going to keep my fingers crossed and hope that we're getting it right in the interim final rule, and encourage anybody who thinks we missed something to please submit comments on that. And I am very excited about the hearing that we're going to be holding on the advance notice of proposed rulemaking. And again, I really, really encourage everybody out there to comment on that. We didn't get a lot of comments. I mean, one of my colleagues said we got a lot of comments on the NPRM that we're resolving today. We got 9 because the issues were so narrowed that there really was not much exciting there to deal with. And I'm hoping that we're going to do a lot better on this, and we'll get some real comment, because I think there is some real interest by at least some of us in making some changes around here.
Commissioner Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will be supporting the rule that is in agenda document 1453-A, which will, I think, it's a long overdue updating of our rules and regulations. As the vice chair pointed out, it's been over 4 years since Citizens United was handed down, and there has been, I think, you know, for those few who might be steeped in our rules and regulations, know what the decision and the holding of Citizens United was, but it's frankly been a shame that it's taken this long to just get our rules in compliance with what the decisions of the court have been, and so I think that it will be I think a positive step that we can prevent any future and unnecessary confusion and misunderstanding about what our rules actually do and do not say. I'll also be supporting the interim draft rule in relating to the McCutcheon decision, as well as the advance notice of proposed rulemaking that is on the agenda here as well. One, I think, important thing needs to, I'm not going to talk too much, but I think one important part of the history that relates to this rulemaking and the story that's led up to it was omitted by my colleague, Commissioner Weintraub. And that was, following the Citizens United decision, Congress undertook to amend the laws and put into place a much more expansive disclosure regime. Some thought it would, I'm not going to get into the pros or the cons of that particular legislation, but this was debated, and it was debated at a point which was probably a high watermark in terms of the numbers of members of Congress, both in the House and Senate, who supported a more robust and expansive and in many ways intrusive campaign finance regulatory regime. That was the Disclose Act. That act did not pass. Since that time, any efforts to revive that act have gone nowhere. And as a commissioner, I don't feel like I can ignore what's happened on the congressional level. Congress writes the laws, and it's not particularly appropriate for an agency to seek to achieve through regulation which could not be achieved through legislation. The versions of past rulemakings that we debated at length here at the FEC, some of them were basically regulatory versions of the Disclose Act. Now, again, I don't want to necessarily get into the merits. I didn't support those on the substance, but I also had a principled reason that when Congress has spoken and chose not to act and has chosen not to act, that factor cannot be ignored. I think that there are some things that may be able to be done. I think that the pragmatic approach that was enunciated by the Vice Chair is a positive one. I think that there are areas where we can make progress and where we can move the ball forward. We have had disagreements about and strong debates about the scope and meaning of Citizens United, as well as what the appropriate regulatory response to that decision should be. And we're going to continue to debate those. That decision, as well as several other decisions which have been handed down as well, that relate to such issues as political committee status, and what should be done about what is the proper level of disclosure. But notwithstanding those debates, I think that we have an obligation as the agency that is entrusted with bringing clarity to the legal landscape, that we, at a minimum, we need to bring our own rules into compliance with the court decisions that we have been discussing. And I think by getting this logjam out of the way, I hope that this will now enable us to work more productively and find those areas where we can find common agreement and consensus, because I think there are probably more than what maybe some people might think. So I do thank the Vice Chair. I thank Commissioner Hunter and the Chairman for all of their efforts to try to get this to this point, which was no small undertaking. And the work of OGC to prepare all the documents and to accommodate the back and forth, the barrage of questions and concerns and requests for edits has been expansive, and their work has been tremendous throughout this, and I also want to thank the various staff members who have done so much to be able to get us to a point where we can vote on this today. I want to thank my two EAs, John Borrowman and David Adkins, for all they've contributed to the process and for their help as we've gotten to this point. I would also put in my pitch that the ANPRM, which is coming out, ask questions that are rooted in the McCutcheon decision. I would certainly encourage any and all who wish to be heard on that to submit comments so that we can have a full record before us, so that we can, as we make our decisions and consider what next steps we need to take with respect to the McCutcheon decision, that we have as much information before us as we can. But again, I plan to support the rule that we have before us, and both of the Citizens United rule as well as the interim rule and the ANPRM that relate to McCutcheon. Thanks.
Mr. Walther.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I join the comments of Commissioner Weintraub, and maybe you notice some angst in our voices, and it's because I think we've lived through this whole process for so long and have been frustrated because we haven't been able to accomplish more. And I give the impression, as potentially left today, that what we're doing now is, has not been done before, but I do want to emphasize that as soon as citizens came down, within 15 days, we issued a written policy on how we viewed it and what to and how to be guided by it. And that was made public and immediately disseminated so that within 15 days of Citizens United, the public who wanted to know understood where the FEC was going to go with respect to guidance. What we do today is formalize it by rules, something that we certainly could have done a long time ago and haven't done, but they've always were coupled with naggy little issues like foreign investment and other disclosure types of issues that prevented us from putting a package together. So this advances the cause in terms of formalizing our regulatory scheme with Citizens United. This is all good, but there's a lot left. I also, with Commissioner Weintraub, would not be able to support it because it does implicate a couple of rules that I think I don't want to be listed as one of those that ratified that in view of the way they're being interpreted today. And I have a separate statement on that, and I know we have a very short period of time today because somebody has to leave at 12. So I'm prepared to make a motion when we are to do that, which will garner two votes for sure, and then we can move on to the rest of it. And I know that everybody is happy, and I hope we can you know, get more collegial. I look forward to the fact that we now will be able to have some public comment. But once again, I think it needs to be a caution that there's no rules out there that we could get a vote on for consideration on some of these more naggy issues. Just we'll have a hearing, but we're not able to propose any draft rules for consideration or more precise debate.
Commissioner Hunter.
Just two quick comments. One, Commissioner Weintraub mentioned that there were only 9 comments, and while that's true, the commenters represented tens of thousands of people, including unions and the Chamber of Commerce. So they were a lot of comments from groups of people, and those groups represented a lot of different people. And I thought they were thoughtful, well-written comments. And second, as Commissioner Peterson said, Congress could not pass the Disclose Act. And so the failure to legislate is not a mandate for the FEC to regulate. And agencies like the FEC should not use their rulemaking authority to circumvent the legislative process. Thanks.
Commissioner Weintraub.
I agree. And our proposal that we tried to put out for public comment was not an attempt to enact the Disclose Act by regulation. It was an attempt to go back to the law that Congress adopted in 2002, which the Commission mucked up with our regulation and which, frankly, some of my colleagues further mucked up with a, I can't describe it any other way, completely preposterous interpretation in the FreedomWorks MER, which seemed to be designed to completely eviscerate the disclosure provisions. So we're just trying to get back to what's already on the statute book.
Well, let me just say first, we owe a great bit of gratitude and appreciation and congratulations to Vice Chair Ravel and Commissioner Hunter for breaking a near 5-year impasse at this commission. And sometimes I feel like it, you know, is like moving a boulder 2 inches. Some people would think that merely conforming your regulations to the Constitution of the United States as interpreted by the Supreme Court is a perfunctory matter. This was no perfunctory matter. And there were profound issues at stake, but in addition to the profound substantive issues, there was a profound obligation of this commission to discharge its first responsibility to comply with the Constitution of the United States and to conform our regulations to the First Amendment's mandate. Today, if we vote for these 3 items, we will do that, and it will be a good day for the Constitution. And it will be a good day for this commission to demonstrate that it has the power and the functionality to do that. Second, in addition to conforming our regulations to the Constitution, embedded in these proposals are important clarifications. In ordinary citizens who live in Des Moines, Iowa, in Oregon, in Nebraska, who pick up Our Code of Federal Regulations should be able to rely on its accuracy and its basic constitutionality. So, conforming our regulations to the Constitution is a good start, but there are also very important clarifications for the secondary implications of Citizens United in this proposed rulemaking, and I think that is a very important step as well, and one that I hope we can continue to work on over the next year, Vice Chair Ravel, when you take this gavel. And third, I want to say I support these three items because they do represent profound freedoms for the American people to speak in our democracy. There are four court decisions actually institutionalized in this rulemaking. The Citizens United decision, the McCutcheon decision, the Kerry decision, and the SpeechNow.org decision. While the aim was to conform our regulations to Citizens United and McCutcheon for the first time ever, there will be a note in our regulations recognizing Kerry and SpeechNow as well. So the effect of these regulations will be to encourage more speakers to join the public debate. More speakers and more viewpoints is a good thing for our democracy. And so on a substantive basis, this is a very important bit of progress for our commission. On the ANPRM, Commissioner Weintraub, I agree with you. I support free speech. I think debate is enhanced the more viewpoints we have, and I support that outside this building, and I also support it inside this building. So when Vice Chair Ravel said, or proposed, that we open our doors to more comment on a broader set of regulatory issues, I think Vice Chair Ravel will tell you, I fully embrace that notion from the first day we began discussing this. And so I do think it will be constructive for the Commission to receive broad and vast public comment on the issues raised in this ANPRM, and I welcome them, and I join you in encouraging citizens to bring us comments to inform the public debate here inside this building as well. As you all know, each year our Code of Federal Regulations gets a new color. I don't know what the color will be in 2015. They vary green to red to purple. But what I do know is if these motions pass, and I hope that they will and I expect them to, the book that is published in 2015 will be about 5 pages lighter, it will be clearer, and it will be constitutional and encourage more speech in the public forum. And so for that reason, I will support all three of these items today. Are there any other comments or questions? Commissioner Weintraub.
I'm happy to hear, Mr. Chairman, that you're supportive of the First Amendment inside and outside the building. I will note that over the course of the last year, I have on several occasions asked my colleagues whether we could go back to some of the items that have been on the Commission's to-do list for quite a long time and do rulemakings that would allow all sides to put in all of their questions, just like the Commission used to do back in the day when we used to spit out 6 or 8 rulemakings a year. And I've gotten no takers on that suggestion. So, you know, I would be very happy to work with you on that if indeed that's a sincere offer, Mr. Chairman, because there's plenty of issues out there on which there's a diversity of viewpoints in the building, and it would be nice to know that folks on the other side of the table are willing to put all the viewpoints out for public comment.
Vice Chair Ravel.
Sorry to prolong this, but first let me say I think this is an important step forward in that process, and we are committed to moving on several rulemakings, including some of the things that were discussed today. The issues, and I just have to address this from sort of a legalistic standpoint to make some clarity in this, and I did say it before, but we are doing today a narrow rulemaking to conform the regulations based on the NPRM that is already in existence, and we cannot go, as everyone knows, outside the scope of that NPRM. And specifically, there was nothing in it about foreign corporations or disclosure, and also specifically nothing about carry or speech now. So while all those issues, I absolutely agree, are significant and really important and need to be addressed by this commission, hopefully today is the beginning of our ability to sit down and have reasonable discussions regarding all those subjects.
Would any other commissioner like to speak to the items? Commissioner Walther, any further comment?
Could I have just a moment to talk procedurally on an issue?
Yes, we'll recess for
make it quick
for 3 minutes. A motion. As I indicated earlier, we would take up each item. We discussed each item together, and we will take up each item separately in a separate motion.
I move approval of agenda document number 14-53A, Citizens United versus FEC rulemaking, and I authorize OGC to make any technical and conforming edits.
Okay. Is there any discussion or further? Are there any further motions? Commissioner
yes, I would,
Walther.
I would offer an amendment to the motion. And the motion would be the amendment would be to approve the final rule set forth in agenda document 14-53A, except to strike the phrase now in quotations and were not made by a corporation or labor organization pursuant to 11 CFR 114.15 end of quotes in paragraph parens 8 from section 104.2 of the commission's regulations. I can't believe I missed that. 104.20 of the commission's regulations entitled, quote, reporting electioneering communications, and also to strike paragraph C9 in its entirety from section 104.20.20 of the commission's regulations entitled, quote, reporting electioneering communications, unquote.
Can you, so I can reread it?
Of course.
For the secretary. Madam Secretary, I'll reread that.
Thank you.
So the pending motion by Commissioner Walther is to amend the main motion to strike the phrase, quote, and were not made by a corporation or labor organization pursuant to 11 CFR 114.15, close quote, in paragraph C8 from section 104.20 of the Commission's regulations entitled, quote, reporting electioneering communications, close quote, and to strike paragraph C9 in its entirety from section 104.20 of the commission's regulations entitled, quote, reporting electioneering communications, close quote. And we can supply you a copy of this, but do you have that?
Yes, thank you.
Okay, so there.
Mr. Chair, could I have a point of clarification and perhaps from general counsel on this matter? Generally, my understanding is that if there's an amendment to the motion, that the maker of the motion has to agree to the amendment to the motion.
No, and that's not my understanding.
Okay,
Robert's
and
rules.
I just want to make sure that it doesn't in any way bind me to that motion. That amendment.
The way that normally under Robert's rules I would proceed is to recognize this is a secondary motion, a motion to amend your main motion. We will have a separate vote on the Commissioner Walther's motion to amend.
Okay.
If it passes, it will amend your main motion. If it fails, then we go right back to the main motion.
Exactly.
Any other questions or comments? You want to speak to the motion, or
no? We already spoke.
Okay,
we're running out of time.
Okay, then we'll go to a vote. We are voting on Commissioner Walther's motion to amend the main motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
No.
No. No. The motion fails by a vote of 2-4, with Commissioners Weintraub and Walther voting in the affirmative. Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, Ravel, and Goodman voting no. So now we're going back to the main motion, which is Vice Chair Ravel's motion. Any further comment? Hearing none, we'll vote on the main motion to adopt agenda item number 14-53A, The final rules on independent expenditures and electioneering communications by corporations and labor organizations. All in favor of that motion, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed?
No.
No.
The motion passes by a vote of 4-2. With Commissioners Hunter, Peterson, Ravel, and Goodman voting in favor, and Commissioners Weintraub and Walther voting no. Vice Chair Ravel?
I move approval of agenda document number 14-51-A, McCutcheon versus FEC interim final rule, and authorize the Office of General Counsel to make any technical and conforming edits.
Any further comments? Any further motions? All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Next motion.
I move approval of agenda document number 14-52-A, McCutcheon versus FEC, advance notice of proposed rulemaking.
Any further comments or debate or further motions? Hearing none, we'll go to a vote. All in favor, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? The motion passes by a vote of 6-0. Well, I want to congratulate the commission. I want to congratulate the staff and thank you all. Esther, Theo, Amy, Adav, your whole team, Joanna, thank you all for, thank you, Cheryl. Thank you all for, there was a lot of work that went to this, and I think this is a good day for the commission. And again, before we move on, I want to thank Vice Chair Ravel and Commissioner Hunter for a good bit of work to move this commission forward. Thank you all.